Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 409, 67 degrees on this Wednesday, September 17th, 2027. 2025. I wish it was 2027. I've told you guys leading up to today's show, I'm proud to have in the studio Dr. Paul Bellino. He's the director of Geisinger's Division of Child Protection and Advocacy. Doctor, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Extremely important issue. I don't think there's a set of ears out there that haven't heard about child abuse, how it affects our communities, how it affects our children. You know, myself, the father of three kids. Grandchildren now. This is something that as my former career as a detective and even today is very pertinent to our conversation. And it's troubling to hear that you guys in the medical field are seeing an increase of this epidemic.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate reality for not just our community but really across the entire United States. The rates of child abuse really haven't changed much, despite a lot of efforts. And in fact, among certain populations, we are seeing an increase, especially in the youngest of children, children under 1 year of age.
Wow. Well, under 1 year of age. You gave me a troubling statistic of how many we lost to child abuse in Pennsylvania last year. What was that number?
Yeah, our statistics that are published by the Department of Public Works, the OCYF, are that 60 children died last year from abusive injuries, and about another 85 or so were injured enough that they were in critical condition and would have or could have died had they not received appropriate health care.
So as a medical provider, what are you and what are your colleagues seeing come through your facilities?
Well, we see all sorts of abuse. Geisinger is obviously the big pediatric provider for 25 counties or so here in Pennsylvania. So pretty much everything comes to us. We have a very specialized clinic that sees children who have been sexually abused, and we are a partner among a number of similar clinics. Some are here in the Northeast, here in both Luzerne and Lackawanna County, in child advocacy. And so we see sexual abuse in those clinics as well as managing some cases of physical abuse in foster children. But at the main hospital and throughout all of our pediatric clinics and so forth, I think the most common thing that we encounter is child physical abuse and neglect. So children that are neglected and that they're not being fed properly or not being cared for in an appropriate fashion, and then physical abuse. And we see a good bit of that in our emergency departments. Last year, Geisinger reported somewhere in the range of about 2,600 cases of child abuse to Childline.
As far as the definition that you guys use for child abuse, is there an age from this under? What is it, 18 and under? What is your criteria for child abuse?
Yeah, Pennsylvania law is 18 years of age and under.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's basically what you guys follow as far as their pediatric.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we take care of anybody up to 21 years of age in our children's hospital or in pediatrics in general. But as a defined thing, child abuse is anybody who's a minor. So it would be 18.
You mentioned sexual abuse, a form of physical abuse. Physical abuse, people think of, you know, scars, bruising, wounds and such like that. What do you see as far as psychological abuse, as far as stuff like that? That's – you would think in this time of internet and such like that, it's more prevalent.
Yeah. Actually, I forgot to mention it, but a large number of our reports that we see that go to Childline from our institution actually are by our psychologists and psychiatrists and mental health folks for emotional abuse. That obviously people will disclose that they've been injured in other ways, and so they'll report physical abuse. But a lot of it is emotional abuse. It's a really difficult thing to prove emotional abuse because you actually have to have a psychiatric illness as a result of having been abused. And so even physical abuse then that can lead to emotional issues later on in a diagnosed mental health illness can be considered both physical and emotional abuse. So, but we do see a good bit of that. Kids with severe anxiety disorder, kids with major depressive disorder, suicidal ideation, that sort of thing, all resulting from, you know, many years, but perhaps of having been physically or sexually abused by somebody in their home.
Yeah, you would think if a family member, not necessarily a parent or anyone involved in the care or custody of these kids, you know, locking them in the room for extended periods or not feeding them properly or such like that, that abuse takes a mental toll on our children.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we're seeing in general, I think any pediatric healthcare provider will tell you very quickly that there's a huge rise in the amount of mental health issues in our pediatric population. And some of that is due to abusive situations. Obviously, some of that's due to a whole bunch of other things going on in society as well.
As far as someone comes in through one of your facilities or any medical facility anywhere, and how is the must-reported system helped you guys do your job, be it educators, be it anyone who's a must report person throughout the, how have these laws helped you guys do your job?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think it brings the issue straight up front that you can't put it to the side and you can't sort of talk yourself out of it. I think in general, you know, we like our patients. We don't want to even think the worst that could possibly happen to people. But, you know, when you see something and you have a suspicion, now the law that's been around since I think 2013, well, it's been longer than that, but redefined, kind of I think that brought to the forefront that don't try to convince yourself one way or the other. If you have a suspicion, you have an absolute responsibility to report this. And so when people call us and want to talk about a case, oftentimes the question will be, should I report this? And my response to them is, well, if you called me, you must have a concern. If you have a concern, you have an obligation, and you know, by the state mandate to report this. And so, the law, in and of itself, from a reporting standpoint, I think has taken it out of the physicians and whoever's thought process of maybe I can convince myself that this isn't happening. From that respect, I think we report more in medical professions now because there's this mandate that everybody realizes we have to make this report.
And again, if you're questioning yourself as an individual anywhere out there that, you know, is this something that I think should go further than that? You're already answering your own question in my mind.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. If you're worried, I mean, the thing is, I mean, you yourself have probably seen this as well in your law enforcement days, but the worst can happen, right? I mean, sometimes children come into the hospital and they don't survive, or sometimes children come into the hospital and forever are needing to be fed by a G-tube and have a tracheostomy with a ventilator to help them breathe. And like that's the worst. And that really does happen. And it happens too often. And so every one of those cases, somebody had a suspicion, right? And they may or may not have reported it. And you know, nobody should have to go through the rest of their life dealing with the fact that they could have done something and didn't do it.
How do you guys, the staff, your staff, you as yourself as doctor and the people around you, how do you guys deal with that? I mean, you're medical professionals in all different aspects, but you're all human beings too. I know the child cases that I dealt with as a detective, they were always the worst personally to deal with. Now, you tried your best to segregate that from what you need to do, and medical providers do that better than a lot of people and will do them better than most. You go to any trauma center and you could see that very quickly, you know, when somebody comes in with, let's say, a gunshot wound or something like that. But how in cases like this, where you're dealing with these type of cases, when you're in a pediatric unit and you're seeing this, what resources are there for you guys and your staff to deal with that?
Well, you're right. I mean, it's difficult, right? And we do lose ourselves in the job, and I think that's our safety net, right? You see this awful thing in front of you, and you find the one thing that you're supposed to do, and you do it as well as you can, and you bury yourself in that to kind of not have to deal with some of the rest of the things that are going on. But you know, there's times that you walk in and you realize, like, oh my gosh, what am I looking at? How did this happen? And those things do catch up with you. You know, there is a lack of support, if you will, just in general for that particular issue. Obviously, there's lots of psychological support and employee support that we offer in our own institution for people that are having any kind of trauma as a result of the work that they're dealing with. But to say that it's specialized for child abuse, I don't think so. We have, you know, a group of people who do just child abuse work. And, you know, I think we can be a resource, and we have been a resource for a lot of these folks. Sometimes you turn that that emotional roller coaster that you're on into something that could be of value. And we certainly have seen people become active in trying to be, you know, prevent abusive issues. And so a lot of the things that we've done from a community standpoint, from a trauma standpoint, have been sparked by individual providers' experience and them wanting to say, I don't ever want to see this happen again, and have taken something very difficult in their lives and turned it into something positive.
It's good to hear that your coworkers and stuff have that peer evaluation about them to where, hey, you know, such and such is not a – you know, may not be doing so well, and you recognize that as coworkers and say, you know, maybe, you know, we should talk to them or something like that. That recognition. I know I got more out of speaking to my peers who – you guys are seeing the worst of the worst in some of these cases. We did as well. Our military, same thing, you know, where they get together and they recognize each other to say, hey, are you okay, type thing. So it's good to hear that's going on as far as there, because it is a very important aspect, because how are you guys supposed to do your best to take care of these children coming in if you're dealing with the issues of seeing this day in and day out? So it's great.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To hear that, which is why I focus on that. So I thank you and your staff for doing that, because it puts you at your best to deal with what we're talking about now. As far as what you're seeing come in, what What types of abuse are you seeing the most of now? What can people be aware of that, hey, this is really spiking and it's really a problem?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt physical abuse in infants is really going up. We're seeing some terrible things happening to little babies that are just, you know, weeks to months old. It's almost predictable. A lot of these cases are cases that one could identify, you know, in the newborn nursery familial drug use. Obviously seeing more and more marijuana use in general in society, and that clearly has contributed. The cases related to marijuana use are going up dramatically. The psychological issues of parents are playing a big role, and we're seeing more and more mental health issues in general in the population. And so as children are being born to more and more individuals with significant mental health issues, obviously that's causing a spike in that. I think, you know, just living and familial makeup, I mean, the statistics are just statistics, right? They don't, you know, math doesn't care what people think about it. It's just the facts, right? Yeah. And so, you know, the facts are that children who are, you know, born to folks that are, you know, not going to raise them as a married couple, you know, people who are born to folks who have criminal histories and so forth.
Drug use,
other violent crime. All these things are in increasing numbers. You know, interestingly, in the Commonwealth last year, over 50% of children were born to folks who weren't married. And so, you know, it's just you see more and more of this. And that's not to say that there's not wonderful homes for children who in those situations. But the statistics do bear out that those do provide a higher risk for kids. And those risk factors that are in more and more households as we move forward. And so it's the unfortunate thing is, you know, that there really has to be societal change if we're going to try and you know, stem this.
Yeah. And, you know, you can be in a family with two parent household that's very loving and caring. It could be a sibling. It could be an outside family member, an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, to, you know, doing this sort of thing. So it does have you mandates you to look at this in a holistic look, but absolutely correct there. I have to go to a break. Can you stick around? Because we want to talk about how the public can help you do what you guys do.
Sure. Happy to do that.
All right. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio 427. We're here with Dr. Paul Bellino, Director of Geisinger's Division of Child Protection and Advocacy. Doctor, what are some warning signs that people could look for? I mean, we talked about different types of abuse. Now, you know, a lot of psychological abuse also has a physical aspect to it a lot of times. Sometimes it doesn't. A lot of physical abuse also has sexual abuse accents to it. But again, not all the time. What can you advise the general public out there, people who work around children or around children? What can they look for? What can they warning signs they can see? If they see a child acting a certain way, very timid or frightened or reflexes, you know, what can people look for?
Yeah, it's a great question. I wish I had an absolute answer for you. Not everything is child abuse. Certain things are more likely to be. From a physical abuse standpoint, I think the one thing that people should take home is, you know, any bruise in an infant, in a child who's under about 6 months of age.
Not walking, not tumbling
around. Has to have an explanation, right? So either that kid has a very serious bleeding problem, right? They have a bleeding disorder, or they've had trauma. They're the only two things that can cause that. And if the trauma was minimal and wasn't a big deal and you feel that you can understand how that could happen, then that's fine. But if it doesn't make any sense, you have to report it. And so, you know, that's one of the things I think that sometimes people will try to convince themselves that it's not a big deal, it's not a big problem. But if you are seeing bruising in a little baby, that has to be reported. You should stand up and say something about that. I think one of the things that a lot of people will tell me is that they realize that their children aren't being that grandchildren or kids in their community or whatever that they're seeing, they clearly are not being supervised all the time. Where there's, you know, a little child, 2-3 years of age, and they're left in the house while mom is or dad is outside doing something probably inappropriate, or they're just not around. You know, if you see young children unattended and they should be attended to. There's usually something more deeply going on inside the home. And that's one of those community reports that really makes a big difference. When we see those kinds of reports coming into children and youth, there's usually something more deep happening there. And a lot of times those kids get referred into us. So, you know, if you're in the public eye and you're seeing those sorts of things, you know, you're out there, those are things that can really just, I know that seems like you're stepping into somebody's life and you're making a big deal out of something that maybe isn't, but those kinds of reports actually do make a big difference. And we uncover all kinds of problems in the lives of kids when we see those sorts of things. As far as physical behaviors, really, really tough. One of the things we have seen is people who can't make their doctor's appointments or truancy in school. Those two issues oftentimes are the result of very deep household dysfunction. And along with household dysfunction go all kinds of other issues, including child abuse. And so, if you're a provider or an office assistant at a doctor's office or something, you see repeated instances where children have missed 15, 20 doctor's appointments, that's a real problem, right? And so these things are worth making a mention about. And it only takes a few minutes to make a phone call and to report it. And you don't have to be giving your name or anything like that. It can all be anonymous. And sometimes it's just a quick drop in by the agency workers to look in and make sure everything is okay. And oftentimes that just is the tip of the iceberg and uncovers lots of deep issues. And that may prevent a real serious tragedy.
Do you find a lot of these cases that are coming through your spectrum as just one individual kid, or are there usually multiple kids involved? Are you finding out from another child that there may be problems, even greater problems with younger siblings or such like that?
Yeah. Many, many times there's whole families of children in homes that are under the same circumstances, right? And so we only find one of them. But one of the things we always do is examine all the children that are in a household. And when you make a report, you also want to report that there's other kids in the household because they want to know where these children are when they go and do their investigation. So yeah, no, we do see children who are equally neglected among three or four siblings or have all been, you know, beaten, or multiple children have had a history of sexual abuse. So it does happen, and it's not just only one kid in a household sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Outside of reporting it, outside of starting that spark, how could family members or those closest to children help you guys as medical practitioners do your job?
Well, I mean, I think I would hope people will understand why their doctor or provider needs to make a report. I think that's always a big worry that we have, is we're going to make the people that we care about upset with us. And so I think being understanding of the fact that we don't have a choice, right? We have no choice in the matter. If there's something that fits this mold that says, hey, this is a potential case of child abuse, please be, you know, willing to work with us. It makes a big difference to us because we care about the people that we take care of. I mean, the children that we see in our clinics and that we manage, this whole family sometimes is, you know, multiple kids that we care about. And we really do become part of the family. We want those people to rely on us. And it's really a big challenge when you have to then turn around and make that report. And so I think if people are open and understand why we have to do something, and it makes it a lot easier for us to have to go through this process. And we are very appreciative when that happens.
And what does a family member do if they suspect child abuse? What's their best avenue? If they're going to pick up a call, if they're going to do something, what's the best thing they can do? What's the most direct thing that they can get action done if they really suspect someone?
Well, I mean, the first thing is to make the call to Childline. And, you know, that is a 24-hour hotline, easily identified. You know, all you have to do is just Google it, Pennsylvania Childline, and you'll get the phone number there. Non-mandated reporters talk to somebody on the phone. So it's a pretty quick process. But then when you're done with that, I would be cautious. You can let people do their job, and I think that's really appropriate to do that. Don't try to play police officer or anything else. But if you do think that a kid is in danger, invite yourself over to the house, right? You don't have to tell people why you're there. Just make sure that until somebody gets a phone call that those kids are safe. I would tell folks not to get into altercations. Don't try to put yourself in between people and, you know, unless, of course, there's an emergency. You keeping an eye, understanding where people are, and just that those kids have an eye on them that's making sure that things are okay, it can't hurt.
No doubt. And I just pulled that up. Childline is 1-800-932-0313. And you can go right to the website. You just put in Pennsylvania Childline. It comes up. You can do it online. You can make a call to the number I just gave you. And again, that's 1-800-932-0313. And again, speaking to Dr. Paul Bellino, Director of Geisinger's Division of Child Protection and Advocacy, I want to thank you so much for coming in, Doctor, and having this conversation and sparking this talk across Northeast Pennsylvania. And thank you for the job you and your coworkers do.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you inviting me.
All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.